If something's on your mind, making you mad, tips to stay kind, take time to breathe, put your head at ease, and let's talk about it.
Welcome one and all, here we are, we've made it, the season finale of season 2 for the Fresh International Film Festival this year. I am beyond excited to chat with my friend Sean Tracy and the entire cast, and I mean the entire cast of The Least I Can Do short film. It was not just a Zoom interview, it was a Zoom party. It was the biggest interview I had ever held, but it was such a pleasure to chat to each and every one of the cast members behind the film, and that is why they get their own very special season finale episode. If you haven't already, I strongly encourage you to go check out part 1 of this episode, where I chat to Third Place winner Aoife Reese and her cast behind the film Sad Excuse for Teenage Girl, and the animator and director behind the second place winning film, The Oubliette. I know so many people were looking forward to that episode, so that one's up right now. So I encourage you to listen to that one first and then come back and join us here for the second part and finale of this season. But without further ado, let's get into it, and I'll introduce the musician of the week. I'm so excited to announce that this week's talented young musician is Moncrief with his original song, Warm. Now, if the name Moncrief doesn't quite ring a bell to you, I promise you his song definitely does, because it was blasted across all of the Irish radio stations over the past few weeks. I mean, he's just blown up. He now has 12,700 followers on Instagram, which is just incredible. So if you want to give him a follow, it's @_Moncrief, MONCRIEFF, and you can also find his Instagram on my own Instagram page @_talkaboutitpodcast, where I've posted the announcement of his feature on my podcast. So I don't know if I've made you aware of this, but before I play any young musician on my podcast, I will always get in contact with them, ask them if it was okay to play a song of theirs, and 99% of the time they will come back with a yes answer. So when I asked Moncrief, I wasn't too sure if he'd say yes. He was a bigger artist, one of the biggest I've ever played on this podcast, and he gracefully agreed. I was so excited, so I thought we'd close this, we'd start the last episode of this podcast with a bang. So here we are. This is Moncrief with his song, Warm.
I remember everything, the picnic in the park, how the rain played on the roof that night, and movies in the dark. I know you're so afraid to sing, but baby, that's my favorite sound. I love all these little things that make you who you are. And I know that we're so far apart, I see your face when I look to the stars. Oh, I'm so far from perfect, I get so insecure, but you pour holy water over all of my flaws. And I'll always be heartless, it'll always be yours, and on your coldest of...
Okay, so I am absolutely delighted to be joined today with what seems to be the entire cast of the winning film, The Least I Can Do. Everyone, how are you doing?
Good.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. The numbers
will get very ugly if we included everyone who were in the party scenes. So we decided we'll probably cut it.
There's already seven of us.
We'll limit the peak at 6. We won't have everyone here.
Yeah.
There's already like 7 of us already on the Zoom call. This is the biggest interview I've done, so it's very interesting. But I just want to say, before we hop into it, Sean, I'm going to head straight to you first, because you're the writer and director of this film. And we met, 2 years ago now, I think. And
probably.
Yeah, I think so. And you came on this podcast last year and you were talking about the initial idea of The Least I Can Do. You hadn't even started recording it yet, and you were telling everyone the podcast what it was about and what your hopes and aspirations were. And now here we are. It seems like it's a full circle moment. We're back here again. And the film has just won the film of the year, the Fresh Festival Film of the Year. So what's that been like?
It's been insane. It's been insane. I am very fortunate at this stage in my filmmaking career that most of the projects I put to paper do end up getting made. Maybe that's a character trait, or maybe it's the fact that like I'm not writing down a million ideas. You know, I write down loads of ideas all the time, but usually the ones that I ever think I might pursue that one, anytime I do that, I usually end up finishing it off, because the ones I feel I should pursue are usually the ones that are worth pursuing, and they bring me right to the end. So this was a film, ever since I began writing the script, there was no way I wasn't making it, you know what I mean? And I suppose what's so gratifying about it is that like when I was planning this film and doing the shot list, I was thinking, there's no way we're doing this, especially the party scenes. I had never done anything like those before. I still think, you know, they're imperfect and elements of the film on my end, definitely, like the cinematography in some scenes and the editing in some scenes, I'm like, oh God, you could have done that better. You could have done that better. But for the most part, like to have even got those scenes done when in the shot list I was thinking this is impossible, that is so exciting. That means the world. And, you know, I was happy enough to have finished the film. So to see it be so positively responded to see it get into Belfast, get into Fastnet, and also then of course win top prize at Fresh and get the, I guess, the acclaim that it's got nationally as a result of that, because the final was televised, that's just meant the world. It's been incredible. So I'm buzzed, to be honest, and I'm just I can't believe the support. You know, it went on to, the trailer went up, I want to say two or three days ago now, and I'm like, obviously everyone here has been amazing in sharing it, and as have a lot of my friends and everything. And as a result, it's nearly got 4,000 views on Instagram. And that's insane. That's just mad to have that many eyes on the film, to have that many people excited about its release. It couldn't have gone better. So I'm delighted. Thank you, Emily. Thank you. I'm delighted.
You're welcome. So Seb, I'm going to hop to you. You are the protagonist of the film. You play the lead role of David. Do you want to tell people about the film, what it's about, for people who have not been able to watch it yet?
So the least I can do is a film about getting the courage needed to do what's right. I'm sure I'm going to miss out some things here, but the general story is me, David, right, my character David, goes to a party and witnesses a sexual assault, and he fails to do anything about it. And it's the story of how that affects him psychologically, because, you know, that's something that's perspective we haven't seen a whole lot throughout the whole, you know, through the Me Too movement, or through, you know, any sort of sexual assault based movement. And it is a very critical role, because if bystanders do more, then sexual assault will happen less. And yeah, the whole story is just about the character of David, his perspective and his development throughout this event.
Yeah, and you've said it before, guys, that this film is very much the story of the characters David and Timmy. It's told through their eyes, where usually when you hear these kind of stories, it's more common in females. So you'll hear the story from females a lot more. So it's really, really interesting to watch this film from two male perspectives. And Amelia, you play Alex, which is the lead female in this film, and you were telling me exactly that when we met at the Fresh Film Festival. So what was your experience with this film and knowing the role that this film is going to have and the impact it's going to have on so many people?
Yeah, of course. Well, obviously, you know, when I read about the kind of synopsis of the film, I thought it was very interesting that, like Seb said, it kind of goes from the point of view of the bystander, of the male, not even the antagonist or the female, the victim, and that it is kind of through the eyes of someone looking at this. But I thought, you know, it was a really interesting concept, and I was very excited to work on the project, but I also had to tread very lightly and, you know, make sure I was kind of playing that part respectfully as you know, as well, because it's a really, really, you know, topical subject, and you don't want to upset anyone, but you do want to bring awareness to it and make it seem real, so people do really feel deeply affected by it. But yeah, just to be really careful when playing the part, I think.
Definitely, and you went about it, guys, so, so well. I mean, watching the film, especially on a big screen, like, it's one thing watching the film and watching the trailer, but to see it, to go into a cinema and see it, like we're all fortunate to do, was another experience entirely. And it is such an important story to tell. And Sean, I want to shoot back to you here and ask why you felt the impulse of the need to tell this story and to put it on screen.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say, like, I'm so happy that Seb and Amelia highlighted that, because that is, you know, highlighted the fact that it is from the bystander's perspective, because that was the most interesting part of the film for me. That's why I wanted to make it so much. Basically, in March 2021, everything, I think pretty much anyone who was 16, 17, maybe 15, but mainly 16, 17, 18 at the time and older, who had social media, who had an app on Instagram that or on their phone, like Instagram or Snapchat, that allowed you to see what other people were thinking at that time, everyone without fail was talking about what happened with Sarah Everard in England, and mainly they're like sharing their own stories or encouraging people who had shared their stories. I had never seen so much support and so much focus on it. And it kind of, it made for some very kind of, to be honest, very uncomfortable conversations with some friends, where I was seeing stuff on social media like, you know, men need to do X, men need to do Y. And I would react really immaturely to that at the time. And I would say, oh, but it's not all men, you know. And I, unfortunately, as shameful as it is, I contributed massively, not massively, but I contributed to it in some conversation with my friends, that idea of like men kind of basically making those conversations about themselves and just saying, well, I wouldn't do that, so it's irrelevant to me. And so after some conversations with some very close friends of mine, who were, you know, very patient and opened my eyes to the fact that, you know, it doesn't matter in this situation. That's irrelevant whether it's I lost my way. Am I back? No, I'm okay. Sorry, I lost my wife. Apologies. You know, when that happened, I'm okay. Sorry, apologies. When I finally had my eyes opened to the fact that, you know, it's not about me in that situation. It's not about what that worry at all of it being not a man. It's just about listening to the story and understanding what you can do from there to help. And so as soon as I understood that, I got a much clearer picture of the situation and what I need to do to contribute to helping people in society, because I don't think, for me, it had never been shown to me as much, you know, that women in our world, primarily, you know, most of the time, they don't feel safe in a huge amount of circumstances. And I never knew that, you know. For a lot of guys my age, it was like, well, obviously, man, that's the world that we live in. But this is the first time I fully discovered it. Maybe I was just sheltered to that from my youth, but like, I never was fully aware to that, never fully revealed to that. And so when I understood that, it was a massive emotional spark of like, uh-oh, that's the world we live in. And as soon as you get that, if you're an artist, if you're a storyteller, if you make films, you want to write it. And that was the first thing I heard telling the story. But immediately I started writing it. And the reason I chose the bystander was because I knew it would be completely disrespectful of me to choose the role of, well, not completely disrespectful. I know writers in the past have done it. They have to, in some cases, for example, if you watch Sex Education, I'm sure they, you know, they tuck in perspective from loads of different people about it, but they had to write the story of one of the characters experiencing sexual harassment. And so in some situations it has to be done, but in my short film, I wanted to make sure I wasn't crossing any lines, and I wasn't you know, trying to assume the perspective of a victim of sexual assault. That was the last thing I wanted to do. And so I thought, well, a way in which I can explore this story of what we can do to play a role in the situation and making society a little bit more of a comfortable place for everyone in our world. I said, okay, I can choose the topic of a bystander. And I just personally experimented with a few ideas, and the thought of, you know, someone in school, very innocent, very naive, very shy, seeing their best friend commit something so terrible, I just thought that's far too interesting and far too emotionally engaging for me to ignore. And so that's why I pursued the script, and I guess everything flooded in from there. But I just, yeah, kind of highlight, I guess, as Amelia and Seb said, you know, this is from the bystander's perspective. And there were moments, and there still are moments, you know, there was, you know, one or two people who watched it, or they had the script, and they were like to me, this shouldn't get made. And that was obviously like this was deep into production that this happened. That's a terrifying thought to come across. And when I had the film finished, I showed it to someone, they said the exact same thing. And I was like, oh no, I thought it was just one person. It's obviously some people are really thinking, you know, this is crossing a line here. But the majority of people who've watched it and nearly everyone who has watched it has come to me and said, no, you chose the right thing, you did it in the right way, you did it respectfully. And you know, my gut says that same thing. So even though there are people out there who have fully justified opinions in saying that this film crosses a line, that it is too much about the males and those kind of things, I fully understand where they're coming from. At one point or another, you know, you have to go with your gut and trust that this is important enough to be shared anyways. And so that's what I did. But there is definitely a viewer discretion warning at the beginning for anyone who might find the film a little bit too just too intense or you know, I don't want to trigger anyone either with this film. And you've got to be so delicate. But anyways, I'll stop rambling. That was why I chose to make the film. Yeah.
Well, no, I think you did go about it the right way. And throughout, I'm counting here, I've done 8 interviews so far this week, I think more. And I'm going to say at least 80% of them have mentioned this film and the impact that this film has had on them, be it the actors and actresses that were behind this film, be it the storyline, be it the script, be it the way it was dealt. Everyone's kind of said that this film, in some way or another, deserves to have gotten the prize and the recognition that it has. And I know it has touched a lot of people and it will continue to. So I want to talk to Alex here for a minute. Alex, you play the antagonist of the film. You play Timmy. I say this was quite a challenging role for you because Amelia said it. I'm getting confused now. that, you know, it is about sexual assault. It's a difficult topic to discuss. So what was your experience like in acting in this film?
I mean, like first of all, it was like such a great experience on set. And I think I mentioned this last time, we all had such a fun time doing it that it was like, we knew how serious it was, but we were still all having such a fun time. I think the main thing that we definitely needed to establish was like how, you know, comfortable everybody was on set. And, you know, the first day that we were filming, you know, some of those scenes were difficult to do. But like me and Amelia had a great chat when Sean was filming the scenes of everyone in the party. And it was just, it made, I guess, me feel really comfortable. And, you know, so it made it a lot easier that I was, you know, in touch with these guys, actors, Sean, everybody. And it made it a lot easier for me definitely to do these scenes, because when you're in the middle of filming them, you know, it's like how what am I doing right now? It's like my mind's telling me like, what are you doing right now? And it's like, you're doing it. And you know, you obviously had to make my mouth move during the scene, so I wasn't just like this. So I was like saying things to Amelia and Ella, and I was like, what is going on right now? But you know, other than that, it was genuinely such a fun experience. But those scenes were definitely, you know, difficult and I guess a bit awkward to film. But you know, they turned out really well in the end, I guess. Yeah.
And to this day, I just want to say, like, I respect Alex so much. It never actually occurred to me how brave Alex had to be in making this film until we were at the Fresh final and we watched it on screen in front of, I don't know how many people, like probably, I don't know how many seats are in that cinema, but maybe 100. I think
there's about 100 people there all if we rounded up. Yeah.
That's what I mean. In and around. You have Alex on screen portraying, and this is true of anyone who plays any terrible character in a film, the likes of the villain in 13 Reasons Why comes to mind as well, who apparently is literally one of the nicest men you will ever meet in your life, you know. But like, he is to play a terrible person, and Alex has to do the same thing here. He's to play someone who makes a massive mistake in his life and does something terrible on screen. So, you know, to think of how Alex, how you probably felt watching that film and then walking out of the cinema with everyone around you having just seen that, I can't imagine what that's like for you. But I just want to commend your bravery for that as well, and obviously commend everyone here because you were all so incredible as well. But yeah, that only occurred to me at the Fresh final how big a leap that was for you to make.
I think I'll second that, because so many people have said it to me during the week that we've been talking about actors and how it's often difficult when you're starting out in filmmaking to find the right actors for your film. So I think everyone was kind of commemorated how all of you guys came together, especially with such a film that's so topical, and you all came together and you all just hit the nail on the head. It was just, you know, everything you the film needed to be. So I want to hop to Sam. Sam, you were a extra in the film. And you want to tell us your experience with making this film and watching, I suppose, Sean go about directing it and to just be a part of the entire experience. Did you think that, you know, this film would get the recognition that it has now?
Like a deer in headlights. to be honest, when Sean was starting out, he kind of talked about, okay, I'm making this movie, and he told me about it, and I had a fascination with movies myself, so I was like, oh, that's cool. And I came up to him one day and was like, Sean, if you want help with it, and he was like, yeah, I got a job for you, just wait for me to text you. And I was like, okay. And then like a few weeks later, it's like middle of the start of summer, and he texts me and goes, Sam, you're going to be the boom operator. You're going to do this, and you need to wear jeans and just come to this at this day. So I was like, okay, I'm there. And I showed up day one, hadn't read the script, didn't really know what was going on. But I just have to say that the professionalism is insane. Like, and I'm there and watching him, he's got all this gear, there's all these actors around me, and I'm just some guy who likes movies, and it's just kind of there like, what do I do? And Sean's just like, okay, you're gonna press the record button on the microphone and that's gonna be it, that's it, man. And I was like, okay, and just make sure it's not on the camera, Sam, that's in the camera, get that out of the camera, please. And I'll be like, okay. But generally he's so lovely to work with, and he'd use me as any extra in any of the scenes and just plop me in and go, Sam, we need to fill up the thing. And I go, yeah, I could be one of the tough guys. And no, completely not that.
Or the one on the counter.
Well, yeah,
counter. And I love that scene. That's actually one of my
favorites. For anyone who hasn't seen the film yet, there's a party scene at the end, and you see some legs basically flying on a counter, just for everyone to know, those are Sam's legs. Just
okay.
Great angle. It's a great angle. But every part of it, no, generally, it was a great experience, and being a part of it, I didn't know where this movie would go. I didn't know where it would take myself. I've been able to join to all these festivals and all these events and talk and do podcasts like this and interviews. And I'm like, I'm just the boom operator. I don't know. But it's been tremendous. And meeting all these people, of course, like I know Seb and Sean, but everyone else, Amelia, Ella and Alex, has been fantastic. It's been lovely. It's fantastic. I love this experience.
Oh, it's been great to hear that, you know, with such, and I think it was Alex that said it to me, with such a, you know, with the film being so topical, that you had fun making it, and to hear you all laugh and just have a positive experience behind the screen makes it, I think, even better to know watching it that it wasn't all serious when you're making it. You actually had, you know, a bit of fun. You're all able to laugh, and you're all able to have, you're all able to enjoy your time filming it, which is half the battle, I think.
Yeah.
And I think...
Sorry, Alex, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, when we were filming the scene where I was... we were in Sydney Parade, I think. It was a scene where I had my hood up and I was meant to be really depressed. Yeah. And we had all the extras, all the guys I know, and I'm there, and Sean's like, all right, Alex, look as depressed as you can. I'm like, okay. I look to the ground. The lads start like, I don't know, you start talking about wrestlers or something, or like making new movies or something.
There's this shot where Alex has to look so sad, as does Seb in the same scene, but there's extras to either side of Alex. And I say, okay, his name's Guy, the guy who was talking. I said, Guy, I just need you to talk about anything. And so while Alex is looking seriously stoic, Guy is talking about rugby, but he's explaining it as Zink is like.
Oh. Dramatic pause.
He was explaining the origins of rugby. He was explaining it as profoundly as he possibly could.
Yeah. He was using like weird terms for each player, and goes, yeah, man with the big legs, and Sean was dying in the middle of it because Sean knew all this, and he's like a massive rugby head, so he's like trying to film the shot, and he's done so like
that's exactly it. Like I heard someone said it about what's his name's film,
Oh, Clint Eastwood's film, like walking onto his set is apparently like you're literally skipping onto set. You're so happy. And I'm aware Ella hasn't actually got the chance to speak yet. So I want Ella to be all hopefully Ella will also.
Dragging around to everyone. We're going in the second.
Don't worry. Ella, we're going to come to you right now. But we're just to say Ella. Like, you know, that's kind of my dream, you know, to have a set where, yeah, you're making something hopefully amazing and precious and great that audiences everywhere will enjoy and it'll be considered wonderful. You know, that's your dream. But to also have people happy to go into set, happy to work, is like, that's all you could ask for, because that's why you make films. It's about the process as much as it is about anything else.
Well, look, and, Sean, I've worked with you 3 days. I worked with Sean on the Waking the Muse documentary. I did the behind the scenes photography. So I have worked with Sean before. And listen, every day was an adventure. You never knew what was going to happen. I think something went terribly wrong every day, or something drastic happened. Sean was caught in the rain one of the days. He came back in drenched, absolutely drenched from the rain. I think something went wrong nearly every day, but it was always an adventure. And I always went in, and mom was like, "What's gonna happen today?" I was like, "I don't know, but I'm so excited. I can't wait." And it was the most joyous.
The same day that we filmed on the beach with that hood scene Alex talking about. Me and one of the other extras, Ashish, we were walking like a bit behind the group, and all of a sudden we just see Sean, Alex, and Sam just start sprinting. And we looked at each other like, what's going on? We see the darter fly past and we're like, oh no. So we just break out into sprint.
Oh, well, I love hearing the stories of what's gone on behind the scenes. Ella, I'm going to pop to you. And you played Rose in the film. So do you want to describe your role in the film and your experience with meeting Sean, meeting the cast, and just the entire film in general?
Well, I came in as complete newcomer to the group here. Everyone else kind of like knew someone, and I knew Sean from online, and I had been looking up to him for years. So to get to like work with him was just like, I was already so excited. And then I got there and I was like really, really shy. And then everyone was just so nice and they were just lovely. And I remember one of my first scenes that I shot, I think it was one of the running scenes or something. And then Sean got a perfect shot. He started jumping up and down really high. And I was just like, whoa. It was so funny. And then his dad, like he was literally hanging out the back of a beach with his camera. And I was running after it. And it was so funny because if you looked at it, I had the weirdest screen basically just look at, and it was just him with this like foot up camera. I hold on to that, and I was so scared that he was going to fall out and like break his camera, and I just had to keep running away. It was so funny, but you know, it was a lovely experience, and just there were so many funny memories and fun things that happened. And then just getting to go to all these film festivals, like Sam said, it was just brilliant, and everyone's just absolutely amazing. And Alex made even the uncomfortable scenes just so great. Like he was so apologetic when he had to do it, like just before shooting, like, I'm really sorry, like just let me know if anything's like wrong. And he was so nice about it, so everyone was really great.
And that's amazing. Sorry, Emmeline, to cut across you, but no one will know this, and everyone needs to know this. Ella, how far did you have to travel from Dublin to Kilkenny to shoot?
I think it was a 3-hour car drive roughly.
Wow.
She had to drive 3 hours, and it was for, I want to say, was it 2 days of filming? Was it two or three? She had to drive on 2 days to Dublin, to Wicklow and back from Kilkenny to film for like 3 hours, 4 hours max, something like that. So the commitment from Ella as well, and her parents to drive her so feckin' far, was just unreal. So I wanted to mention that. Dedication.
Well, fair play, Ella. And the scene you're in, you described it there, it's the running scene, and when everyone sees it, they'll know exactly what we're on about. But the color grading in that especially is just so eye-capturing. I remember, Sean, you showed me a clip of the color grading, and it's just amazing to see. Like, there was nothing like it else in the competition. This film just stood out from all the rest. So Ella, what was it like seeing yourself on the big screen and just being a part of all these festivals? Because like you said yourself, you hadn't actually been to a film festival before we met in Fresh.
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw, I think it was at the premiere, and I was there with my parents and my two friends, and I was really, really nervous, but also I was just like so excited because so much love went into the film. So I was like, there's no way that anything could come out of this bad. I mean, Sean made it, it's going to be brilliant. So I was just really excited and nervous. And I remember as soon as I like popped up on the screen with the picture, instantly I was just like, oh yeah, I'm in this. And I got like kind of shock a little bit. And I don't know, it's just kind of when you do acting and you want to be an actor and you're kind of doing that stuff, really getting to see yourself on a screen for the first time, I don't know, it's a very warm, really honest, loving feeling. And yeah, just it was a wonderful experience, and I have to thank Sean so much for it all, and everyone else involved in it, and the cast and the crew, like Sam, all to help with it. It was just amazing. That's all I can describe it as.
That is insane, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to all six of you. This is by far the biggest interview I've ever done, so I am absolutely delighted that I was able to do it with you. It's been such a pleasure to chat to every single one of you. And that is, what is a quote you live by and why? Seb, do you want to start us off?
A quote that I always remember, and I'm not sure who it's by, and so we'll go with anonymous. But you'll never realize how far you come when you're always raising the bar. I just think that, you know, if you look back, if you take a second and look back at who you were a year ago, instead of looking at who you want to be in a year, then you'll realize that you're doing a lot better than you think.
I love that one. I think that's really, really good. I think that's true as well. I mean, recently it's been such a full circle moment for so many filmmakers that have come on. Like, so many people have said that it's just been amazing to see the film that they've made on screen, like in their own rooms, and then to see it on the big screen. It's like a full circle moment. It's unbelievable.
Okay, so a quote that I live by would definitely be, appreciate everything around you, because literally like anything can change. I know that's not the exact quote, but it's something along the lines of that. I know I do like definitely think about this on the regular, like when I wake up early for school or whatever and I'm like, oh Jesus, but it's like, come on, you have a great education, you're living in a great country, you have magnificent friends, it's supportive family. So yeah, no, that's definitely what I guess take on my daily life, you know. But yeah,
that's a great one, and it's a positive one as well. I love hearing that one. And Sam, as the boom operator, I'm going to ask you, what is a quote you live by and why?
I was thinking about this for a bit. Do I call back all my 6 year poets and go, Brendan Kennelly this, or Dylan Thomas this? And I couldn't think of anything truly philosophical. So I guess I kind of realized that today, though, it's kind of about good people, you know. Good people creates good work. For example, this, you know. So that's all I have to say, I guess. Not that.
No, I love that one. It's simple and it's to the point, and I love it. And thank God you didn't quote Brenda Kennelly, because...
My parents.
Not good to me yet. No, leave it to a student here. Don't want to exactly be quoting Brenda Kennelly anytime soon. And my last question I'm going to ask, Amelia, I'm going to start with you and then I'll go to you, Ella. One thing you wish people would take away from our conversation here today and take away from the film, in fact, as well.
Yeah, well, I think the main, obviously, the messages of the film are huge, you know, to not just be a bystander, to go with your gut and to really, you know, like any difference can make a difference, you know, the smallest thing. So that's a huge one for me, is to just really, you know, go with what you think is right. And then from this conversation, I guess, and from all the talented people here, is to just, you know, do what you love, you know, turn your passion into a career, your hobbies into a career, is a huge thing for me. You know, I come from a creative family and I've always been kind of brought up with that, and to, you know, I was always told, if that's what you love, why not? You know, someone has to do it, so why not you? So that, yeah.
I love that. And I think that's something that's running through the entire season, in fact, as well. So many people have just said, just do it. And just start and just pursue everything you want to pursue. And Amelia, I think you summed it up so well there. So thank you. And Ella, one thing you wish people would take away from our conversation here today and the film.
I definitely think accountability. Accountability is a huge one for me. It's holding people accountable for their actions and really just trying to make a change, trying to make a better future for people by kind of just teaching the world that this is wrong. You don't just get away with it. Like, you're going to be held accountable for it, and really just in action, what that can cause. I feel like that's a big part of it, and I hope they can take that away and learn from it, from this film. So yeah.
And I hope everyone does. And I cannot wait for it to be released. Sean, release date. When is it going to be?
We have finally got a release date. We have, what is it? The 12th of July, 2022. So this summer, after just after Galway Film Festival, not that we're going to get into it, but just after that festival, just in some slight case that we do, that is when the short film is going to be released. And I do have a different quote to the one I said last year, if I can say that as well.
Fire away. Any chance. You're always welcome. Thank you.
It's on my necklace. It one side says love over fear. The other one says seek discomfort. Love over fear is immensely, I think, an important one. You know, just choosing love over fear in any situation. In this film, I could have given in to the fear of making the film, and I could have given in to, and this isn't to make, look at me, I'm great. I'm just saying, I'm applying this to everyone who worked on this film. It was the exact same for everyone. They could have chosen the fear of getting involved with what is definitely a risky, potentially controversial piece, as it always will be if you're dealing with a sensitive topic. And you know, instead, I think myself and hopefully the people here, we all chose the love, not only of the craft of filmmaking, but the love of each other, because we knew that the bigger purpose of this film, no matter how some people would see it, is to help people, hopefully, and to emotionally impact viewers in a positive manner. And so we chose, I guess, you know, choosing love over fear is a beautiful one. And then also, I was going to say originally, when you asked me the question in advance, I was going to say Work Harder by Casey Neistat. It's just very simple, work harder. And that's always something that's on my mind. But there's also sophisticated one from Theory, which is also on my necklace, the side, Seek Discomfort. And I think I didn't lose my Wi-Fi. I was going to say, I think I've lost my Wi-Fi. I haven't. Seek Discomfort is, it's, in my opinion, it's almost the exact same as what I just said. It's like, you know, everyone here, we had to embrace discomfort, not only in choosing the topic of the film, but in acting on screen in front of people online. You know, like, it was something that struck me at the Fresh Film Festival this year. It was like, you know, you had six-year rugby lads, from what I could tell, being in short films and acting dramatically. And that is just...
Yeah.
So
yeah, they were
brilliant to see. You know, that is discomfort, that is stepping out of your comfort zone, that's doing something that you're kind of risking a lot of slagging here in Ireland, but people are doing it anyways because it's what they love. They're choosing love over fear, and they're seeking discomfort, and by that they're giving themselves new memories, which I think is so important. And it's just, you know, I guess if I was to also mix it in with the second question, what do you want people to take away from this conversation, I would just say seek discomfort. And don't just seek it, don't just come up with an idea and say, oh, that sounds exciting and new, but I won't do it. If you've got something fresh to do with your time in your life, as everyone has here, you know, pursue it, pursue discomfort, pursue the fear, and choose love in that moment as well. Yeah, that's all I'd say.
That's amazing. I think I want to take this moment in time to just commemorate every single filmmaker that made a film and that had entered into the Fresh Film Festival this year. I think so many people, I know it was, for a lot of people, their first time entering Fresh. I know for a lot of people, I've talked to a lot of animators who it was their first like long 15-minute animation film. I've chatted to people, like you said, Sean, who are rugby players, who just wanted to just pursue film. It was a passion theirs when they were younger. They wanted to pick it up again. I've come across so many incredible individuals that have just shared their story. And with this is going to be the last episode of this season. So for you guys to come on here and to close off with a bang, all six of you, I want to thank every single one of you so much for your bravery and courage in making this film. And I cannot wait to share it myself, because I know so many people who are going to enjoy it and take so much away from it. So guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And
unfortunately, that is it. We have reached the end of our journey here on season 2 of this podcast with the Fresh International Film Festival. Can I just say a huge thank you to absolutely everyone who was involved in the season, everyone who I met at Fresh, who was a complete joy to meet. They were all so wonderful and so kind and so patient and so incredibly talented. They are all unbelievable people, and I thank you all so much. Thank you as well to all the listeners that have been tuning in over these past number of weeks. It's been insane. My listenership and my followership has gone through the roof, and that's all down to you. So a big thank you, but most importantly to the entire team behind the Fresh International Film Festival. You are all so amazing, and to let me run with this project and have full creative reign, and to just support not only myself but all the filmmakers and actors and crew that go into every single short film. You are all incredible people. We thank you so, so much. And we are all so excited for next year's festival already and what it has to hold. So thank you all so much. I'm going to be taking a break from podcasting for some time before I come back with season 3, which is going to be an entirely new adventure altogether. So until we speak again, thank you all so, so much for your support. Make sure you go follow me on Instagram @_talkaboutapodcast so you can keep updated with myself and what's going on with the podcast over the next couple of weeks. I'll be back as soon as I can. But until then, I wish you all well. And thank you so much for joining me on such an incredible adventure.
Thanks for listening, giving us your time to tune in. Join Emily, same time next week on Talk About It.
The intro and exit music you hear on every episode is by the very talented Hannah Kinsella. She's a singer-songwriter from Ireland in County Dublin. If you want to go show her some support, you can follow her on her Instagram page and YouTube @BuskyBops.